I want to start this morning with a confession. The title of this sermon is a pun, and I'm not sorry about it. Sowers are quite a stitch. Sower, S-W-O-E-R-S-E-W-E-R, stitch. In English, the person who plants the seed and the person who mends cloth sound almost the same when you say them out loud, which is either a delightful coincidence of the English language or proof that whoever named these professions had a very specific sense of humor. I like to imagine it was the same person who decided that read and read should be spelled identically and pronounced two different ways, just to keep us humble. But the more I sat with this parable, the more I decided the pun isn't just wordplay. It's actually a decent description of what God is doing in this text. God is stitching something together: soil, seed, word, spirit, and us into one garment. So bear with me. By the end, I hope the joke will have preached itself. If it hasn't, well, at least you'll have learned what your pastor thinks about vowel sounds more than is probably healthy. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, breathe into us your spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I want you to picture the scene in Matthew 13. Jesus is so popular that he has to get in a boat and push off from shore just to have room to speak while the crowd stands packed along the beach. And he tells them a story about a sower who goes out to sow. Here's the first strange thing about this sower. He is remarkably careless with his seed. Some falls on the path, and the birds eat it. Some falls on rocky ground with hardly any soil, and it springs up fast but scorches in the sun because it has no root. Some falls among thorns, and the thorns choke it out. And some, finally, falls on good soil, and it produces grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Any farmer in that crowd would have winced at this sower's technique. You don't fling seed onto a footpath. You don't waste it on rocks. If this man showed up at your local county extension office asking for planting advice, they would very gently take the seed bag away from him. A sensible farmer aims. This sower doesn't aim. He scatters generously, almost recklessly, as if he believes there's enough seed to cover every kind of ground and still have a harvest left over. That's the first clue about who this sower is. He is not stingy with the word. He throws it everywhere, onto hard hearts, shallow hearts, distracted hearts, and open hearts alike. Some of that seed will not survive its landing spot, but the sower keeps sowing anyway. When the disciples ask Jesus to explain, he tells them plainly, the seed is the word of the kingdom. The path is the person who hears the word without understanding it, and the evil one snatches it away. The rocky ground is the one who receives the word with joy at first, but it has no root. So when trouble or persecution comes, they fall away quickly. Holy cow, that was a really good sermon. 5 minutes later after leaving the church, you forgot it. It happens to me all the time. And I'm the one preaching. The thorny ground is the one who hears the word, but the worries of the world and the lure of wealth choke it out, and it yields nothing. And then the good soil, the one who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. I want you to notice something about this list. Three of the four soils fail. In baseball, that's a fair batting average, but in agriculture, that's horrible. If a stockbroker gave you those odds, you'd take your money elsewhere. Yet the sower keeps sowing on all four kinds of ground. He doesn't do a soil test. He doesn't skip the rocky path because it isn't worth his time. Every hearer, distracted, shallow, anxious, or ready, gets the same word, the same seed, the same chance. That should tell us something about how God treats us. God is not rationing grace, holding some back for the soil that looks most promising. God is sowing wildly, everywhere, all the time, trusting the word to do what only the word can do. That brings me to the prophet Isaiah. Centuries before Jesus told this parable, the prophet had already described the word of God in almost identical terms. Isaiah says that as the rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return there without watering the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is God's word. It will not return to God empty, but will accomplish God's purpose and succeed in the thing for which it was sent. Do you hear the connection? Isaiah's rain waters seed for a sower before it does anything else. The prophet already knew that God's word behaves like weather, falling everywhere, indiscriminately, on ground that will use it well and ground that won't, but never falling in vain. The chapter doesn't end with quiet agricultural success. Isaiah says the mountains and the hills will burst into song and the trees will clap their hands. This is not a modest image, my friends. This is creation throwing itself a party because the word finally landed somewhere it could grow. Now, I don't know exactly what applauding trees sound like, but I imagine it's better than most church choirs on a Sunday when half the altos have laryngitis. Isaiah wasn't worried about being taken literally. He just wanted us to understand that when the world finally lands well, the whole created order throws a party it can barely contain. So here's our first stitch. In Matthew, the sower in Matthew and the rain in Isaiah are doing the same work. Both descend without asking permission from the ground. Both are patient enough to wait for a harvest they will not force. Both trust that even scattered, even wasted-looking effort will somewhere take root. But a parable about soil raises an obvious, uncomfortable question. If I am the ground, can I do anything about which kind of ground I am? Am I just stuck being rocky or thorny or good by accident of birth? I've been a little bit of everything throughout my lifetime, and probably repeated circumstances. But this is where Paul's words to the Romans come in, where the stitching in our title gets personal. And thank God for that, because if the answer had been a 5-step improvement plan, I would have had to cancel this sermon and go sell you a workbook instead. Paul writes to people who know exactly what it feels like to be divided ground. Part of them wants to bear fruit. Part of them keeps choking on thorns of anxiety, competing loyalties, old patterns. And Paul's answer isn't a technique for self-improvement. It's an announcement. He says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever kind of soil you have been up to this point in your life, that's not the final word on you. Then Paul describes two ways of living: setting the mind on flesh, which he says leads to death, and setting the mind on the spirit, which leads to life and peace. And he makes a promise that reads almost like Isaiah's rain landing directly on a human chest. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. This is the stitching. The spirit doesn't just visit good soil and skip the rest. The spirit takes up residence in mortal, mixed, still somewhat rocky people and works the ground from the inside, softening the packed path, deepening the shallow places, pulling at the thorns one root at a time. Paul isn't describing soil that was born good. Paul is describing soil that gets worked on patiently by a spirit who moved in and has no plans to leave. So let's bring this together. A sower who won't stop scattering seed on ground that hasn't earned it. A word like rain that refuses to come back empty no matter where it lands. A spirit that takes up residence inside imperfect people and stitches new life into places that used to only grow thorns. That is the whole gospel, really, sewn into one picture. God does not wait for us to become good soil before God starts sowing. God sows first, then rains second, and moves in third. And the becoming good soil part happens somewhere in the middle of all that persistent, patient, seemingly wasteful generosity. So if you came in this morning feeling like a packed down path or a shallow, rocky surface, the worries of the world have you thorn-choked in your own ground, you are not disqualified from this harvest. The sower already threw seed on you. The rain already fell. And if you belong to Christ, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has already moved into the house and has started pulling weeds. Our job is simple: to keep listening, to work on our understanding, to keep letting the word take root, and to trust that the God who stitches rain and seed and spirit and soil into one long, patient act of love is indeed quite a stitch. Amen and amen.